Our scripture reading today will come from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 21, and I'll be reading the verses 5 through 38. Now, we have been preaching through this section of Luke, this farewell sermon of Jesus, and today our text is going to be beginning at verse 29 through 38. But throughout the sermon, we will be referring to the previous verses, so I'm going to read beginning at verse 5 through verse 38. And keep in mind as well the outline that is in your bulletins, and on the opposite side of that outline is the scripture reading, which I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Luke chapter 21, and beginning at verse 5, and reading all the way to verse 38. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy and infallible and inerrant word. And while some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'The time is at hand.' Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. And you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it, therefore, in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart, and let not those who are out in the country enter it. For these are days of vengeance, to fulfill all that is written. Alas for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days, for there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves. People fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." And then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." And every day he was teaching in the temple. But at night he went out and lodged on the mount called Olivet. And early in the morning, all the people came to him in the temple to hear him. Thus the reading of God's word from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, the verses 5 through 38. Keep in mind that outline on your in your bulletins as well, the other side of the scripture reading, an outline of this morning's sermon message. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, a number of years ago, I attended a preaching conference, and one of the lectures at that conference was about how many times throughout church history people have made predictions about the day of the return of the Lord. The lecturer that day handed out a two-page outline of all the dates in history, in church history, where these predictions were made. And before each prediction date, he gave some of the background in terms of the world events that were taking place during that time period that led to them making the prediction that after this happens, and because of this happening in this part of the world, this is the date that we think the Lord is coming. It was amazing to look at this list, for I had no idea how many times throughout church history, throughout the centuries of church history, that the Lord's return had been predicted and not come true. We have had many predictions in our own time period as well. When war breaks out in the Middle East, books are written that this is the beginning, the signs that the Lord is going to come. When the millennium turns from 1999 to the year 2000, all kinds of movies and predictions and books written about this must be close to the time when the Lord returns. Just a few years ago, a popular radio teacher, even one who had taught from a Reformed perspective for many, many years, he made a prediction and wrote a book. And of course, it didn't come true. These kinds of predictions about the Lord's coming are predictions that are still happening today. And so one of the key passages when it comes to making those predictions is Jesus' farewell sermon that we see here in the Gospel of Luke. A farewell sermon where in Matthew and Mark it is called the Olivet Discourse, but here in Luke, as it's preached in the temple, verse 27 tells us, this sermon is describing Jesus' final thoughts and words as he is ready to go to the cross, as he will die on the cross and rise from the dead and ascend into heaven. In previous weeks, I have already preached through the first part of this sermon, but now in today's text, Jesus is concluding the sermon, and he is concluding with some important details concerning the future and what the day of the Lord will be. But he tells us, instead of focusing on the day of the Lord in terms of his return, he tells us instead about the coming of the kingdom of God. He tells us in verse 30 that the coming of the kingdom of God is near, 30 and 31. And yet, as we reflect on these verses, he concludes with what our mindset should be, what our focus should be. You see, in these verses, as he concludes the sermon, the Lord is letting us know that we cannot predict the day of his return. It's not something we will know when it will be. But it's something that we have to be prepared for. For the Lord tells us that when that day comes, it will come suddenly. It will spring, for some people, like a trap. Unexpectedly, the Lord will return. So let's look carefully here today at what the Lord is saying concerning this day of his return, but more importantly, what he's saying about the coming of the kingdom of God. The first thing that the Lord does as he concludes this farewell sermon is he tells another parable. We can see that in verse 29. And Jesus told them a parable. And as you look at this parable, it is known as the parable of the budding fig tree, or the fig tree and other trees that are beginning to leaf. Now, it's important that as Jesus tells us this is a parable, that we remember what we have learned thus far in the Gospel of Luke concerning parables. The first thing that we think of when we think of a parable of Jesus is to recognize it is not just simply about an earthly story or about something horizontally teaching for us in our lives here on this earth. Parables have a vertical focus. In other words, when a parable of Jesus is told by Jesus, he is telling us something about the kingdom of God, something vertical about the kingdom of God. And a second thing that Jesus tells us about parables is that he speaks in parables to veil something, to veil what is being revealed. For believers, they understand the parable. They understand its meaning. But for someone who is not a believer, it is veiled and they do not understand. So what is Jesus revealing to us in this parable that he tells at the conclusion of his farewell sermon? He tells us in verse 29, and he told them this parable, look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you will see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So what is being revealed about the kingdom of God? Jesus speaks of a fig tree and all the trees. The fig tree is about to leaf, or the buds are coming out, and you can even see some leaves. And you know when you see it that summer is already near. Now, living here in the Northwest, this is certainly a good time to preach on this particular parable. Because of the beautiful weather and the sunshine we have been having, you can look around you and see the trees that are coming out in leaf. Some of them are still budding. Some of them already have their leaves that have come out. And even though we know it is not officially summer, it's likely to start raining again this week. It's likely to keep raining until the 4th of July if we compare it to past summers here in the Northwest. But we do know that when we see the leaves, we know that summer is near. And Jesus is revealing that that is the way to vertically think of the kingdom of God. As you look at the budding leaves on the tree and you know that summer is near, Jesus is saying in this parable, so as you look at the things of this world that he is speaking about in this farewell sermon, you will know that the kingdom of God is near. Look at the verse that follows in verse 31. Jesus begins with, so also. You see, he's told the parable, so it is with the trees and their leaves. So also, verse 31, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. As you see the leaves on the tree, you know summer is near. When you see these things that I've told you about in this sermon taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Well, what are those things taking place that are starting to show the leaves? Notice again what Jesus said at the end of that verse, verse 31. He does not say, so when you see these things taking place that I've described in this farewell sermon, in Luke 21, when you see them taking place, the second coming of the Lord is near. That's not what he said. The end of that verse reads, you will know that the kingdom of God is near. You see, all through the Gospel of Luke, Jesus has been preaching that the kingdom of God has come. He announced it at the synagogue in Luke 4 when he read from the scroll of Isaiah saying, these things are now taking place in your presence. When he told a parable about something about the kingdom of God. When he was preaching, he spoke about the kingdom of God. So what things then is Jesus talking about that will soon take place, that are like leaves that are starting to show on the trees? He's just described them in verses 5 through 28. You see, the disciples and the Jews, they have a horizontal focus, and Jesus knows it. When Jesus came into Jerusalem at the triumphal entry, they were not thinking about a vertical kingdom. They were still thinking horizontal kingdom. They were thinking that the future of the kingdom of God here on this earth is an Old Testament kingdom again, just like they had under King David. That Jesus would be like a King David and bring an army that would bring rebellion against Rome and drive them out of the land. That once again, God would empower Jesus and the army of the Jews to bring about an earthly kingdom as it once was in the days of Solomon and King David. But in this farewell sermon, you see, Jesus has pointed out that that's not the kind of kingdom that God had for the future of the kingdom of God. The farewell sermon is not about a horizontal earthly kingdom. It's about a vertical kingdom that has come from heaven and has arrived. What are the leaves? Jesus has told us. In these verses, he's spoken about armies outside of Jerusalem that someday will destroy the temple. Armies outside of Jerusalem that will destroy the city of Jerusalem. The people inside the city of Jerusalem will have to run and flee to the hills. Jesus is now telling them in this parable, these are the buds, the leaves that are coming, so that you can see the vertical kingdom of God is near. He goes on then in the next verse, verse 32, to bring clarification. And we know it's bringing clarification because he starts out with the word truly. Truly, when Jesus speaks that word, as he's done throughout the Gospel of Luke at various times, is a word he uses for emphasis. In other words, he's bringing clarification to the parable that he's just spoken. Verse 32, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Well, now the question here is, what does Jesus mean by generation? Jesus said, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away. What does he mean by generation? Well, of course, there are different views that people have concerning the meaning of this word. One particular view is that generation means during the generation lifetime of the disciples and his original listeners. Another view of generation is that the generation is describing the kingdom of God as it exists between the time of Jesus' first coming and his second coming when he comes again. But this generation, according to this view, is that it is the generation of the church. The generation of the church, the first generation, was B.C., before Christ, the Old Testament generation. Now A.D., after the death of Christ, the next generation Jesus is speaking about is the generation between his after-death coming and his second coming when he comes again. Now, there are good arguments on both sides. I personally take the position that it means the kingdom of God generation that Jesus, that is between Jesus' first and second coming. In other words, what Jesus is saying is this: truly this generation, which includes the disciples of Jesus' day and the generation of believers until the Lord comes back, they will not pass away until all these things I've described in this sermon, Luke 21, are going to take place. Well, what are those things then that are going to take place? Jesus is about to go to the cross and be crucified and buried and be laid in the tomb. After 3 days, he will rise again from the dead, Luke 24. And then he will ascend into heaven, Acts chapter 1. after his ascension in 70 AD, just like Jesus said, we know from church history, from the world's history, that the Roman army will come and destroy the temple and destroy the city of Jerusalem, and the temple and the city of Jerusalem will never again have biblical significance like it did in the Old Testament, in the BC generation, and it will never have salvation significance as it once did, as they once did, in the BC generation of the Old Testament. This generation will witness these things, the disciples and Jesus' original speaker or listeners. And these are the leaves, Jesus said, that are budding on the fig tree to show what? What does he say again at the end of that verse? That the kingdom of God is near. The budding fig tree, the leaves on the tree, those are coming out by the events that you will soon witness and see. The destruction of the temple, the destruction of the city of Jerusalem does not mean that's the end of the kingdom of God. Those are the leaves to help you see that the kingdom of God that Jesus has been preaching about and that he is going to bring by his death and resurrection, that kingdom, that vertical kingdom, Jesus is saying, is near. A kingdom about the forgiveness of sins and the resurrection from the dead and eternal life for all believers. A kingdom that in the BC generation was shadowed. A kingdom in the Old Testament generation that was pointing to the AD generation, the New Testament generation, the kingdom that Jesus, by his death and resurrection, accomplished and brought to this world. And yet, until the Lord comes back, as Jesus said in this sermon, you will have wars, verse 10, earthquakes, great earthquakes, verse 10. You will have famines, verse 11, diseases that go across the world and persecution against the church. Jesus is saying this in the verses. All of these will happen to the disciple generation of 70 AD, and all of these things will happen until the Lord comes back again. This kingdom of God generation that comes to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior will long for his return. That generation, Jesus said, will not pass away until the Son of Man returns. And notice how he brings it in then, in verse 33. Heaven and earth will pass away. You see, Jesus now in verse 33 speaks of the end. Heaven and earth will pass away. This is what Peter was speaking about in 2 Peter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done in it will be exposed. You see, the Apostle Peter, having heard this sermon, speaks of this same thing in the book of Peter, 2 Peter 3, 10, verses 10 to 13. He tells us that, as Jesus said here, heaven and earth at his return will pass away. They will be destroyed. But the words of Jesus, look at the end of that verse, my words will not pass away. You see, Jesus' words are eternal. Heaven and earth are part of the cosmos, part of God's creation. Jesus tells us they will pass away. But his words, the word of grace, the word of salvation, the words of eternal life, they will never pass away. Well, then how then should this generation, the generation that Jesus is speaking of, how should then this generation live point B on your outlines. Should we spend all of our time trying to predict the date of our Lord's return? As I mentioned at the beginning of this sermon, it is amazing to look and to know the list of times throughout church history where people have made these predictions based on the events and what they saw about the signs that the Lord was going to return. And yet, verse 34, when Jesus speaks to his disciples, he concludes his farewell sermon with instructions as to where their focus should be. Verse 34, watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. You see, Jesus' warning is not to spend all your time focused on trying to predict when it will be so that you're ready when that time comes that you've predicted. Jesus' warning is to watch yourself, that your heart would not be weighed down. The first word he uses is dissipation. That has been translated by some to say unbridled indulgence, means uncontrolled indulgence and sinful behavior. The next word sort of reflects what he means by it when he says drunkenness and the cares of this life. What Jesus is saying is, we don't know the day of the Lord's return. We don't know the day when heaven and earth will pass away. So watch yourselves. Not watch the headlines. Not watch the latest preacher to tell you when that date is going to be and pay attention to him. Watch yourself. May your heart be not weighed down with the things and the sins of this world that can take your mind and focus off of him. May your mind and heart not be focused on the cares of this world, which can take your focus and mind off of him and the day of his return. Jesus concludes in that verse saying, so that day would not come upon you suddenly like a trap. You see, maybe you've seen a movie on TV where you see somebody walking through the forest, and then they trip on a wire or a rope that's been set up for them. And the next thing you know, they're caught up in a trap. And they can't get out. It's unexpected. They don't know. They can't predict it. It just happens. It falls upon them. It's all of a sudden here. They weren't ready. They weren't prepared. When the English translators have translated the word as trap, it's to help you understand the suddenness of it all and the unexpectedness of it. But please know it's not God's trap. It's Satan's trap. For he uses the things that Jesus has described, the dissipation, the drunkenness, and the cares of this life, to take your focus off of Christ and his return and upon those things, so that when he does return, you are trapped. And it's not just for the people of Jerusalem, the 70 AD generation, the disciples' generation, that have to be prepared because suddenly the armies of Rome are going to surround the city and destroy the temple in the city. Verse 35, Jesus takes it a step further. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Not just Jews, not just people living in the Jerusalem, Judea region of the world. Jesus is speaking in verse 35 of all who dwell on the face of the earth. The day of the Lord is a day that's going to happen, that's going to take place upon the whole world. No one can escape. Everyone, Jesus is saying, must watch yourself for that day. And so, verse 36, he goes on to say, stay awake. but stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all of these things that are going to take place and stand before the Son of Man. Stay awake at all times. Be awake at all times. And he says, praying at all times, knowing it could come soon. Sometimes when there's a terrorist threat, they put it on the news, don't they? They say, all right, we've got threats going on now. We want to raise awareness. We're going to start with yellow, but now we're moving up to orange. And if more happens, we may move the terror threat warning and preparedness warning to red. Jesus is saying, the warning is already on red. I'm not saying stay awake because now you read the signs and it's getting close. Jesus said, stay awake at all times, praying at all times that you have the strength to escape all these things that are going to take place. For the disciples, Jesus specifically is speaking about things that are going to take place during their lifetime. Jerusalem is going to be destroyed by the Romans. The temple is going to be destroyed by the Romans. They will experience war. The first century church will experience earthquakes and famine and disease and persecution. But the generation, the AD generation, will experience wars and earthquakes and famines and disease and persecution as well. And Jesus is saying to the disciple generation and to the generation of the church until he returns, pray that you may have the strength in the Lord to escape these things that are going to take place. So that when the Son of Man returns on that great day, you can stand, Jesus said at the end of that verse, you can stand before the Son of Man. Remember earlier in the sermon when he spoke there in verse 28, he describes there in that verse redemption. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. When the Son of Man comes, your redemption has arrived, and those who know him and the salvation that he has brought will stand before the Son of Man. Do you stay awake and pray for that kind of endurance? Is your alert level on red at all times? The Lord could come tomorrow. The Lord could come today. Or is it on yellow? Well, he hasn't come in 2,000 years, so I don't think I have to worry about it yet. Do you see what Jesus is doing in this passage? He does not give his listeners the date of his second coming, because if we had a date, the focus of our lives would be all wrong. All you have to do is look at past history and all those who had predicted dates and the response of the people who thought that that was the date. Some lived their lives as they pleased in dissipation and drunkenness, and then as the date got closer, they straightened everything up the last week or so, right before the Lord comes, knowing that God's grace is sufficient and forgiving, and they don't have to worry about it until right at the end. Some sold all they had and gave to missions to get ready. Some people devoted their lives to charity work right before the date that was predicted. Whenever there is the signs that Jesus spoke about, war, great earthquakes, famines, disease, a school shooter, it hits suddenly. Everyone is affected by these things. They weren't ready for that, and that's why it makes the news and gains so much attention. Jesus is saying, I've not given you a date, but all the signs are there. And in this parable, Jesus is saying, the leaves are out. I've come to die on the cross and rise again. I've ascended into heaven. The kingdom of God has arrived with my first coming. Salvation is for the people of God who believe in my death and resurrection and belong unto him. You see, you don't have to know the day of his second coming. And so instead, focus on what the Lord has told us to focus on. Our mindset, our focus must be that the Lord is coming soon. It's veiled for those who do not know the Lord. Remember what we said about parables? It reveals something vertical first. The kingdom of God is near. It's here. The Lord Jesus has brought it. But parables are also veiled. Something that you see clearly and know because you're a believer, many others don't see and know. Jesus is concluding his farewell sermon to the believers, saying, watch your life. Don't become distracted in the pleasures of this world or in the things of this world that cause you worry. Keep your mind pure from worldly things. Make sure your focus is me. Don't fall spiritually asleep, but stay awake at all times, praying, knowing that the time could come anytime, and it will come suddenly. Do you see why the predictions that people make, according to what Jesus tells us here, are so false? Because the Lord has told us it is going to come suddenly, like a trap. No one can predict that date when it's going to come. That's the way the Lord established it. But the trees have the leaves on them. You know them because the Bible tells us what they are. And know that he will soon return and you will stand before him in righteousness, in his righteousness on that day. He will, on that day he comes, take you into the eternal realm where his words are eternal to be with him forevermore. Amen. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for this word of God, this farewell sermon that our Savior preached to the disciples' generation, but also to our generation. Lord, a sermon which reminds us that someday he will come. A sermon that reminds us, Lord, that he will come suddenly. A sermon that reminds us that as we look, Lord, at the trees and we see the leaves, we know that the kingdom of God is budding and the leaves are before us. Lord, we rejoice that you have opened our eyes to know this word of God, that we can see these things clearly. We can know that our Savior has come to earth, that our Savior died on the cross for our sins, that he rose from the dead and he has ascended on high. And we rejoice to know that as believers, this kingdom of God is near and in our hearts. Lord, we long for that day when our Savior will return. We long to stand before him, having been raised up in righteousness and in glory by his power. And yet, Lord, remind us today to be watchful, of our lives and ourselves and how we live before you, that our minds and hearts would be focused on you and not the pleasures and things of this world, that, Lord, as believers, we would always be praying, staying awake, that he could come at any time, at any moment, that he will come unexpectedly. But Lord, because we know him and we belong to him, we have nothing to fear. For when he comes, we will be with him. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.